Okay, hello everybody, and welcome to Investing with IBD, sponsored by MarketSmith. Today is September 9th, 2020. I'm your host, Arusha Paris, and today we have Brian Shannon returning back to the show. Brian is the founder of AlphaTrends.net. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Hey, great to be on again, Arusha. Thanks for having me.
On today's podcast, we are going to talk about the current market. We will talk about multiple timeframes, and we will end the episode with a few current ideas. So let's get right into the current market. We are back under pressure. So the market last week started to get hit. A lot of leading stocks started to correct a little bit. Some actually got hit a little bit harder and fell below the 50-day moving average on heavy volume. We have two distribution days on the NASDAQ, four on the S&P 500. Brian, what are your thoughts on this market right now?
Well, I'm intermediate term trader. My time frame is generally a swing trade, and I define that as, you know, if it's a bad swing trade, it's a day trade. If it's a good one, maybe up to about 6 weeks or so. So I noticed I was getting stopped out of things a couple days ago, and then I was taking an extra day off, for whatever reason that worked out well, that I kind of went to cash. And now I'm a little bit cautious for a couple of reasons. Longer term trend, obviously, still very intact. What we don't know is this just a pullback and a little correction along the way, or are we going to finally see at least a time correction and digest these gains, not necessarily cave in, I don't think, but listen to the message of the market, and if I start building new positions, how quickly will I start getting stopped out of them?
How long is a time correction, or how long do you consider, or how many weeks, how many days do you consider like a correction on a time basis?
A time basis, we could pull back in the S&P 500 to the 50-day moving average, and the 50-day moving average starts to turn sideways. But as long as we're within a range while that's happening, then to me, that's a healthy time correction. And there's still going to be individual stocks that are behaving well along the way. So that's the type of action that I would prefer to see. I like the bull side better. And I think that everyone at IBD probably does as well, it's just easier. So a time correction would be very welcome here for maybe up to a couple months. I think that'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, if it were to be up to a couple of months, that would give enough time for a lot of bases to form, a couple of months bases to form. So you'd see kind of traditional cups and double bottoms and things like that start to appear, which would be ideal in my opinion, because we haven't had a lot of kind of traditional bases since we started this uptrend back in April.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy up, up and away there on the chart. I mean, we're still holding above the 50-day moving average, but, a lot of people look at it and say, if it breaks below the 50-day moving average, that's the problem. The problem, I think, is whether we're making lower highs and lower lows below a declining 50-day moving average. If the direction is still higher and we're oscillating above and below, that's still a pretty healthy correction, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that is a really, really good point. Right there. Let's go over to the NASDAQ quickly so we can just take a quick look. And so we're showing a number of charts here. And so you could always go to investors.com/podcast when you're back at your computer. But the NASDAQ came in a little bit harder and so far has found support off the 50-day, but maybe it goes a little bit lower, shakes out even more people.
Looking at that, I mean, down to 10,500, that would still be okay. We've got pretty good consolidation in there from July. And if it were to come down and hold in there, again, then you've got all the leading stocks will continue to hold up better and new bases will form, as you said, and then we'll see maybe a new group of leaders emerge from that action. It's the best game in the world.
It's true. I mean, I love your optimism here because that in many ways, that's exactly what you want to look for, or that's how you want to view this, is corrections or pullbacks can be tremendous opportunities if you're protecting yourself during those times where stocks start to fall out of favor or start to correct just to kind of get rid of the excesses that they've had over the last month.
Yeah, but last 3 months, right? I mean, we've had a lot of excesses, and a digestion of that would be great. It's you know, we can't sustain this type of pace. So maybe now this is the slowdown ahead of the election type of thing, where people kind of start jockeying and thinking about who's the winner of that, what's going to be the outcome, how is that going to change thing. Fortunately for me, I'll just continue to stay focused on the action of the stocks and let everyone worry about all that nonsense.
That's true. Yeah. And so you're looking at overall markets, you're looking at individual stocks. How much weighting do you put on each of them to get a gauge of the overall health of the market or the environment? Are you mainly focusing on stocks, or are you putting even more weight on the market?
You always have to be aware of what the market's doing. Obviously, they say all boats, you know, are lifted by the tide. And, yeah. You know, I think that they've done studies that 60% of a stock's action is based on what the underlying market conditions, 10 or 20% the sector, and the rest of the individual stocks. I butchered those numbers, I'm sure, but you get the point. There's real papers done about that, and I'm summarizing. But, you know, the thing, Arusha, is I'm always aware of what the market's doing and potential catalysts for the market and for the individual stocks. But I think that if you get too wound up in what's the market doing, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities. So just the last couple of days, I mean, I had Smile Direct Club at $10.40, and it's up to $11.50, $11.80, I think, or something like that, into the 12s today. And I looked at it and said, we're in a corrective period during the market. So I like this setup. It doesn't mean I'm not going to take the setup. It means I'm going to do so with maybe half my normal risk size to compensate for that. I've been burned so many times early in my career, you know, waiting for everything to be perfect. And I realized, you know, it just never is always perfect. So you've got to get in there. If you've got your stop, you know where your risk is, and compensate for the risk of the market with smaller share size. To me, that's my preferred style.
And that's a really, really important concept of reducing your position size, because that's exactly what I'm doing right now. Yes. Where we've had a lot of volatility, right? So it's forced me out of a number of stocks, and now it's like, okay, stocks have taken some damage on in the short term. So they've taken some damage on. It seems like there's more volatility in the market. So as I start to wade in the market, I'm not going with a 10, 15% type of positions or trying to build up to that. Right. I'm going with maybe let's try to build up to like a 5% position and see if I can get some traction. Talk a little bit more about that, because that enables you to stay in the game and not drift too far away and miss out on a market that could rebound very, very quickly.
Yeah. So again, it's the case of, you know, scaling in a little bit at a time. Now, I don't average up the way that you do. To me, it's more about in this type of environment. So Smile Direct Club, they're kind of a controversial stock from what I've seen. And, you know, that's not for me to decide. Company, that is. Yeah, the company, not the stock. I guess that, you know, I don't know what the story is, so I won't even try to bluff that out.
We got a lot of fact checkers on this podcast. They'll call you out.
All right. Well, good. That's why I won't go there. So anyways, this one, you know, I mean, look at the revenues. There are $107 million versus $195 in the same quarter a year ago. That's not your typical growth stock that you're looking for. And I don't know what the reason is, but, you know, the fact is, they're, you know, the stock's breaking a key level. It's back above the 50, the 20, the 50, and the 200-day moving average, or you have a 21 on there. It's the same thing, basically. It's got a great relative strength, and it broke a base with volume. So for me, it's a technical play only. Now, if it had great fundamentals, I might think, well, I can have a little bit more confidence in this. Not because I care about what the fundamentals are so much, but I think I know the rest of the market will, and all the IBD guys will say, hey, this is a great one, which should be on our list because it's got all the Canslim criteria. So if it doesn't have all the criteria, you know, smaller share size, understand the personality of the stock. So sometimes I'll look at a little biotech stock and I'll think, wow, that's a great looking chart, but I'd have to be insane to take a normal size position and hold this thing overnight. You look back further and further to the history of some of these little biotechs, you know, going back to monthly charts and that, and you see they, you know, they run from 5 to 20 once a year, but then they drop to 3. And yeah. You know, that's not the thing you want to get stuck in. So it's understand the personality of the stock. Does it make sense to me? So for this, it's a nice, you know, pretty tight consolidation recently, increasing relative strength. It's got good average daily volume. And, you know, we're in an environment where when the market starts to correct like this, you know, not all stocks start doing that. If we see true rotation, some of the leaders might start taking a break. And then, you know, people are still kind of, you know, hung up on they've got the adrenaline from the action. And they're like, well, show me the hot stock, kind of the, you know, what the Robin Hood traders are going after and that sort of thing. So they'll move to some of that more speculative, you know, names. And it's fine to play those if you understand the risk that maybe it's not the same leadership that we're going to see for a little while. And it's inferior leadership. But there's still opportunities there, especially for that time frame of days to weeks.
Yeah, and the things like this, if you start making money on this one, you lock in your gains, that's going to give you more confident to move into something else. And you'll start to notice that your batting average starts to shift too. And I think that's a big part of it. Over the last few weeks, I've noticed that all of a sudden things that I was trying, I wasn't right as much versus the last few months. Before that, I was right on like on everything. I was on fire. Like everyone else was, right?
The monkey throwing dart was on fire.
I know exactly. And a lot of times what I tell people is, you know, when you're struggling and if you're getting stopped out a lot or you just can't, it's really hard to make any progress. You know, a lot of times it's not you, it's the market. Same thing around when you're on fire, a lot of times it's not you, it's the market. And you just got to learn to respect that. So something like this, I like having that feel where now you can, it gives you an opportunity to see if your batting average starts to change and improve, but you're not taking that much risk because you're playing with smaller positions.
Right. And like, for instance, with a company like this one, it's what I consider, you know, versus a regular swing trade that I really want to get involved in. Versus what I consider just a watch list idea, something I can hopefully produce a little bit of cash flow with while the, you know, set bigger setups are still there. So I'll take my first third off often as a day trade if it moves in my favor. And now I've got two stops on this one that are pretty tight. Where's my list? I've got one at 10.51 and at 10.88. They're just below some little intraday lows. So, I mean, I'm in at $10.11. But still, that's 4 to 7% profit in a couple of days. I want to keep that tight because if the market does see, you know, that it's not just a corrective pullback, but maybe the beginning of something new, nobody knows, that I'll be able to lock in those gains. And always, I want to be in a position of strength as best that I can. And if the market tells me over and over again, small loss, small loss, small loss, it's like you said, that the market's telling you something. We have to be, you know, tuned in and objective to what that message is. It's saying, listen, you thought it was a great setup. You know what a good setup is. You've been doing this long enough, but the market disagrees. Do you want to keep forcing it or do you want to listen to what the market's telling you? I think it's billed. It was, you know, I pay for information. I buy a little bit at a time and pay for that information. What is the feedback of the market? Hey, it likes it. It agrees with me. Cool. I'll get into more. That sort of thing.
Are you actually setting stops on these positions or are there more mental stops and alerts?
They're more alerts. I'm in front of the machine all day, Arusha. So I don't have, you know, I'm not constrained by having to set my stops. You know, if I feel nervous about the position and I'm going to do something where I know I'm going to be away for a little bit, then I'll set the stops. And it's generally a couple pennies below the most recent relevant high or low for whatever that time frame is I'm engaged on. So, for instance, there's a little low at 10.90 intraday that you probably have to go to a 5-minute chart to see in SDC. So I've got it set 2 pennies below that. And, you know, oftentimes, so I want to take the risk out of the stock as much as possible. You know, as quick as possible.
Perfect. So the market is still under pressure right now. So make sure you're managing your risk. And of course, always remain disciplined. Don't let your emotions get the best of you, especially when the markets are more volatile. Let's take a quick break. But when we return, we're going to talk more about multiple time frames. You got a little sneak preview there of Brian going into the 5-minute chart. He likes to look at multiple time frames. So we're going to go into that. And also, we'll talk about the pros and cons of social media and how you can use it to help you with investing, or how it can also hurt you. We'll be back. I am here with Scott St. Clair. Scott's one of our senior product coaches at MarketSmith. Now, Scott, there are a ton of publicly traded stocks just on the U.S. I think it's over 5,000 stocks. Who has the time to go through all of these stocks and find the very best ones?
Yeah, most people don't, right? So what you need is a tool like MarketSmith. We have decades of research on what makes a great winning stock. So we've done all the research for you. So we're going to try to highlight those specific stocks with those great data points. So if you're looking for that next great potential big winner, orange stock ideas button, you just click on it and you've got some of the main reports that we use, including the Growth 250.
Yeah, and the Growth 250 is the first list that I go through on the weekends.
Yeah, it's the most popular one, but there are others. There's the Breaking Out Today, Stocks Near a Pivot, and then the Blue Dot List, right, which is very popular. It's going to show you the stocks with the best relative strength. So we've done a lot of the work for you. What you have to do is review these lists. You're going to come up with some of the best ideas in that current market environment.
Perfect. MarketSmith saves you time and makes investment research that much easier. For more information, go to investors.com/podcast2020. Brian Shannon is our guest on Investing with IBD, sponsored by MarketSmith. Okay, Brian, let's get into multiple time frames. So we were going over SDC, the Smile Direct Club, and you're breaking it down into, we were first looking on the daily chart, then you broke it down into the 5-minute. Let's take a step back first, and why is it important for you to look at multiple time frames?
Well, I think, Arusha, you know, you'll have people ask you all the time, hey, are you bullish or bearish? Well, we could be in this major uptrend, but right now, you know, here on September 9th, we've had 4 days of pullback, a little bounce today. I'm cautious. I'm not bullish or bearish. Longer term, I'm bullish. We're in a major uptrend. Intermediate term, I'm a little cautious. Short term today, we experienced a nice bounce. It rallied just beautifully all day long. So there's multiple trends within trends. What we want to look for is the low risk, high probability points where all those trends align. What's the guy? Michael Jenkins, I think, did the analysis of cyclical analysis and that sort of thing. But the way that you want it is he described it as waves, and when the waves build together, that's where your optimum point is. So for instance, we have a longer term uptrend, it pulls back. I don't want to buy during the pullback because it might be just the pullback that keeps pulling back and crashing like it did in March, right? Buy the dip people got destroyed back then. Yep. So I like to then look at an intermediate term time frame and say, is it in fact finding support along that, let's say the 50-day moving average? That's a level of interest. I don't want to just blindly buy there. I want to look to the shorter term timeframes and say, is it starting to stabilize at a minimum? Once it's stabilized and then it starts to break, from a short term consolidation that might have been 2 or 3 days, once it starts moving higher from there, well, now I've got the short term trend aligned with the intermediate and long term trend. To me, that's the ultimate buy point, because now the momentum is just coming back into it. I'm not buying the weakness. I'm not buying as it's going sideways. I'm buying that first higher high in the definition of trend, higher highs and higher lows. So when the shorter term time frame gives me that first, validation of a new emerging trend, that's where I want to get involved. And then, of course, the job is, to look based on risk reward, say, is there enough perceived reward, let's say, just going back to the prior high, relative to what I perceive the risk to be. And that'll be just below the most recent relevant higher low in that emerging definition of trend.
Yeah, so you brought up a number of really interesting concepts here. Now, the first thing I'll go before I forget it is just the reward risk ratio, right? And trying to gauge that. And that's something, especially for those that are new, and you teach a lot of people, so you know this too. People are always thinking about the reward, but they're not accurately gauging the risk. You really want to kind of first think risk first, and then right. Say, okay, if I take this risk, or is this reward worth taking the risk? So you just naturally just kind of set it there, where you're looking kind of at these time frames, and you're saying, okay, here's my risk, and it could go up to here, right? Based on a technical reason or something else. Here, for your example, you're using more a short-term high or the next recent high. Talk a little bit more about that first.
Sure. So when let's say we've got a stock that, let me just look at it. So I like Shake Shack right now. If you can pull that one up.
Yeah.
Shake Shack is in a longer term uptrend. And
the ticker symbol is
S-H-A-K. Yeah.
Yep. So
now, again, here's another one without the proper fundamentals, at least at this time. And you could
this one's kind of nice because you can go and test it out, though. I'm like, right, so, it'd be a little hard for Smile Direct Club. I mean, you could test that out too, but it's much easier and much more fun to test out Shake Shack.
Yeah, so you could go even to a weekly chart, start out there just to see what the long-term picture is. And what I want to do is say, is there a potential level of bigger supply that might halt the rally? And I look at this and I see that peak, you know, in March of this year up near about $80 per share. Theoretically, yeah, it could get to there. You know, yep. So I'll look at that and I'll say, you know, here we have two tight weeks after a little flag. And then I'll go down to the daily time frame and see what that looks like. So as we look at that daily time frame, you can see that it was a kind of a grind up since that last earnings report. And then now the last week and a half, we're seeing the volume is diminished on this consolidation, and here's a stock that's correcting more through time than a deep price pullback. That tells me that there's still bidders in there. It's holding above that June high of 63.80, it looks like. So that prior resistance seems to be holding as support. Now, and here you can see, I mean, this has it laid out very nicely already with the automatic lines on there. My risk would not be way down at that red level at 60, though. My risk would be below the low of the last, I think that was last Friday, would be my stop. So 3 days, two back to
this
left.
This one right here.
So below that low. Right? So now I look at this and I see, okay, we've got the potential maybe for this thing to run up towards that 80 level. A lot of people might call that a breakout. I want to sell to those people because by the time it gets there, it's up 20%. So now
the people who are calling a breakout over here.
Right, exactly. And I think that's a very common mistake that people make. They're calling something a breakout when it's already moved, you know, 20% before that so-called breakout. Here we have a nice tight consolidation. So if you look at, let's say, a 30-minute time frame, where each one of those now is 30 minutes, and we can get a little bit more detail on this consolidation. So even right here, Arusha, you can see that, you know, over the last week and a half, from the beginning of the month, we had those highs that were coming down, and then we had lows that were also making lower highs and lower. It was making lower highs and lower lows, if you draw. So now we've got a break of, you know, the consolidation of the last 4 or 5 days. And I think now if it can get above the high of the last 2 days, which is $68.19, to me, that's where it makes the higher high. I'm not waiting for the high above $69. I might sell my first third into that high from last beginning of the month as the breakout people get involved, just because I want to, you know, reduce my risk a little bit. And at this point, because of the market volatility, my stop is, you know, if it triggers, will be at 65.25, which is about 5 cents below that low from last week. So if you look at the lowest point of go left a little bit further, right over there, here, below that low.
Okay.
Now, if I get the opportunity to take some off, I'll raise my stop up, perhaps just underneath that 66 level I would probably start right
or
where your
here.
Trend, yeah, right under there.
Okay.
And then if it got up towards 70, I would probably put my stop to break even. So I want to be, so it's pretty aggressive risk management. It's very aggressive. But right now, you know, we're starting to see, again, if it can break the highs of this week, which it's hit twice, it's that $68.19 level. To me, that's worth taking a risk. And I might even tighten my stop up, you know, even quicker, might even put it underneath today's low if we get that move quickly.
Yeah, now, I mean, there are a lot of really interesting concepts here where you're reducing your risk a little, you're taking some off the table
right
when you're making money. So that's a very, very important risk, regardless of what time frame you're trading on. So you're taking some off there. And then you're slowly raising your stop too, to protect the remainder of your shares. And of course, if it goes against you very quickly, you have your exit strategy to the downside. So it's very mechanical. There's a system here. And in the end, you're just letting the market and letting the stock tell you what to do.
Yeah, my biggest weakness probably, you know, is that I set my stops too tight and I get stopped out of these things early. But I think it's important now in a corrective period during the market to tighten them up versus when we had a runaway market to let them flow a little bit. If you go back to the daily time frame for a moment too, Arusha, you can see that the daily chart, you could make a case as well that the October to January kind of traces out a left shoulder of last year. Right in there.
Over here. Yep.
So that dip from the gap down, that could make a shoulder, right?
Yep.
And then you can see a head. And then that, you know, cup that's in there. And then if you draw a trend line off the top of October across, it actually broke that.
So kind of like the descending trend line.
Yeah. It's kind of an inverted head and shoulders pattern.
That's right.
So there's a number of things there. It's holding that 21 day moving average. It's above the, what's that really short term one you have there?
I have a 10 day moving average too.
So it's even holding that 10 day moving average. It's holding a 10, it's holding a 20, it's above the 50. The 50 is just crossing above the 200. The 200 is flattened out. That tells me that this is, you know, this is pretty real. The volume is increasing on the moves up and decreasing as it consolidates through time rather than price. So those are all things that tell me it looks good. Let's see if the market will agree with me. And if it doesn't, I'm certainly not going to fight it and say, but it was a head and shoulders pattern. I read about that.
I mean, I think that head and, well, speaking of head and shoulders, I mean, that really seems to be the most commonly used pattern and most commonly misused pattern out there. I personally like the inverted head and shoulders. I find those a lot more useful than the ones trying to find the tops. I think the inverted head and shoulders, especially when you're coming out of correction, can be very, very powerful. Now, I think everyone who's listening to this, you want to go back. You definitely want to go and watch the video where you're seeing the chart on this investors.com/podcast. Because Brian essentially tied all of the most important aspects of technical analysis all right into one example right here. So if you can understand all these little details that Brian just, you know, casually just threw out there, because he's been doing it for, 20, 30 years now, you're going to get pretty good at this. What's that?
Long time, yeah. Let's just say
long time. I mean, that was really, really impressive, just uniting all those things. And in the end, that's, you're increasing your probabilities like that when you're looking at different time frames, when you're taking all these aspects in together. And you really need to be detailed like that to start seeing improvement in the market.
And in Arusha, it comes down to as well, and this is something we're going to talk about a little bit, is time frame and understanding my time frame. I'm comfortable with my time frame. I know what my time frame is. And if somebody else is a longer term investor, maybe they want that stop down underneath the little pink line there that's automatically drawn in by that 60 level. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's your personality. No one should copy somebody else's trades. You've got to make the information your own and say, here's why it makes sense to me or why it doesn't make sense. Somebody could be listening to this and saying, well, look at the revenues. They're horrible. I'm going to short this stock. I'll sell it to you all day long, Brian. But great, you know, that's what the market is. It's different opinions, different time frames, and risk management, really.
Yeah, and that provides a great segue into social media, because when both of us started years ago, it was really hard to kind of learn a lot of this stuff and get examples and try to absorb and put this together. These days, there's so much information out there that you just have too much information. But social media can be, and Twitter can, especially Twitter, you can learn a lot of these concepts really, really quickly if you know who to follow, and also you keep that process in place that you have to make it your own. You can't follow people blindly, as you mentioned. You have to explore a number of styles and then just make it your own and really make it your own style.
Right. So there's a lot of misinformation also, unfortunately, on Twitter.
I was trying to be nice. But...
I mean, I'll give you a good example. It's amazing you said that, you know, the Head and Shoulders is maybe the most misdiagnosed. One of the most simple, basic, and extremely bullish patterns, a flag, is such an easy concept. It's, you know, like four or five days up, and then a nice tight consolidation. That's a flag, you know. Short lower highs and lower lows. Volume pulls back. The stuff that people call a flag, I just don't get it. And the way that they draw trend lines and just try to force their opinion on the market by only showing a certain segment of time. They'll only look at, you know, they'll show, here's the last 2 weeks. This is why it's bullish. Then you look at a daily chart and you see this stock in just this monster downtrend. It is not bullish. Just some basic common sense things. Trade in the direction of the 50 and 200 day moving average will keep you out of so much trouble. I think like the weed stocks are probably one of the poster childs for that they have just been awful. The pure play weed companies, they've just been in downtrends. They come up two or three days above that declining 200-day moving average, people get excited, and then they drop another 40%. I mean, it's happened over over again. It's crazy.
It's true. I just pulled up CGC, Canopy Growth. Yeah. I forgot about this stock. You know, it's been off my radar for so long, and I haven't missed anything. I missed a lot of pain, I guess, if I was trying to go long the stock. But, those basic kind of just truisms, you know, all stocks are bad if they're underneath the 200-day moving average. Make sure your stocks are above the 50-day, and the 50-day has to be above the 200-day. All those things are going to save you from a lot of pain. Now, Brian, you have a huge following on Twitter, and you're an influencer of ours, of Investors Business Daily. And you will show a number of examples using MarketSmith charts here with different time frames. So you send me some screenshots right here. You have SPT. This one was back on August 18th, and you showed a number of different time frames, which is really interesting. You showed a daily time frame,
right?
And then you really broke it down into intraday.
Because again, it's multiple time frame analysis. I want to see what that big picture is. Did you see, is it above the 50 and 200 day moving average at a minimum? And I want to look a little to the left and say, is there a big level of prior consolidation that might become, so prior support broken, you know, people will say acts as resistance. It tends to act as resistance because there's price memory there and people looking to get out break even. So if there's a huge level of prior support that is 10% away, I might look at it and go, well, it's not the best idea. I want to see clear sailing, blue skies ahead. On a much bigger time frame. The daily time frame is to say, okay, I know what the primary trend here is, and I have an idea of where it has the potential to go. Now in that shorter term time frame, how do I manage risk and make potentially the most timely purchase of this stock with the least amount of risk? That's what it comes down to for me. On that SPT, yeah. I didn't even take that trade. It was a beauty too. I mean, I think it went like 30% in the next 3 weeks, and I never touched it because I get so picky on my entries sometimes. I think the day that it The day after I mentioned it, it gapped up 4 or 5%, and it never pulled back below the VWAP intraday. So I said, well, you know what? I've got my rules about chasing. I'm not going to chase this, because 9 times out of 10, when I do chase it, I know exactly what happens. I don't get lucky. And you know, the phrase, I'd rather be lucky than smart. I'd rather be smart and know that I can repeat something and have a system and have a strategy that I can consistently implement. And that's what you guys are all about, is about, you know, process. And if what is your process for your time frame? Going back to social media, you know, you can't follow, I can't follow Warren Buffett. I'm not interested in what he does. Right. Even for the short-term pops, it makes zero sense for me to be interested in what he's buying. I really just don't care. Not that I don't admire the guy and have tons of respect for everything he's done, but it's not my style. So you've got to, and that's the most difficult part, I think, for a lot of, especially newer traders, is saying, what is my time frame? Where am I comfortable? Why am I following a day trader and Warren Buffett when I'm a swing trader?
It's a really, really good point. I'll bring one more example here, and then we'll take a quick break. You were talking about flags earlier, Brian, and you have here on Twitter, you posted this on August 31st, 2020. It was on Netflix, and a nice flag. That was right when it popped up. It went on that, I think, up 11% that day, and then it flagged really, really nicely. And it actually went up a little bit higher, and then the market started to come unglued. But if you want to see a nice example of a flag, there you go.
Yeah, I actually put the American flag on that tweet. Yes. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I did. I do that sometimes just to kind of emphasize, this is a flag. So anyways, the next day it gapped up. And honestly, I didn't even buy it that day because, again, it gapped up without me. And I, you know, that's something I should probably be better at, is determining which ones to buy. But what I typically, on a gap, what I typically look for is, you know, they gap up, then they run for 5-10 minutes, they pull back below the volume weighted average price, then the volume weighted average price flattens out, it gets back above that. That's when I think you should buy. Now, that's really short-term timing, and probably not appropriate for most people, but it's where I found the edge for a stock that does gap. Anyways, it completely, then, you know, it made higher highs and higher lows, but then it broke down and it's back below the entry price. So even if I had purchased it, which again, I didn't, I would have sold a third that day as it had that first strength. And then just looking at the chart, I would have been out break even at the worst on the balance, I think would be the worst case scenario on that.
No, and another good example of knowing who you are, knowing what trades work for you, and other trades that you just let go because it doesn't fit your personality, it doesn't work in your system. And once you have all those rules down, then it just becomes a numbers game. And right. And you're just looking for trade after trade, and you know that, you know, on that numbers game, you're going to be able to, over the long term, you'll be able to make money, because you have a system and a risk reward ratio heading in the right direction.
I started out at Lehman Brothers as a cold caller, and it was a numbers game there. You had to make 500 dials a day. Of those 500 dials, you were going to connect with 100 people. And of those 100 people, you were going to get 20 qualified leads per day.
Wow.
And then you call them back in a week with that special hot idea. And then of those 20, you were going to get 2 to 3 accounts if you were good. I got about 1 or 2 because I wasn't the greatest sales. I was more interested in the market and trading little options off to the side. But again, it's you're right. It's all about the risk reward and holding your winners as best you can and listening to the message of the market if you have the knowledge to interpret it properly. But again, a lot of people force their opinion and not listen objectively. And that's the difference between really knowing technical analysis and memorizing patterns and memorizing candlesticks and all that stuff. That's good, but the psychology of what does it mean behind the scenes, it really helps you get that next leg up and that edge.
Absolutely. So having a system and knowing how you react to stock movements will help you manage pullbacks and prepare for the next uptrend. So coming up next, Brian and I are going to talk about a few ideas. Stay tuned.
MarketSmith will give you a huge edge in the stock market. Better stocks, bigger profits.
MarketSmith is the top research platform for IBD.
It's just the best tool for individual stock selection.
Everything within MarketSmith is designed to bring those best stocks to the surface.
It does a lot of the work for you of filtering down to the potential leaders.
It's when you take the training wheels off and you're ready to invest on a more professional level.
MarketSmith will help you take control of your investment life.
If you want to get serious about investing, start your membership today.
We are back with Brian Shannon on Investing with IBD, sponsored by MarketSmith. Okay, Brian, let's go over a few ideas here. And the first one is Beyond Meat and ticker symbol BYND. And let me share my screen too. And so I just pulled it up here on the daily chart. And Brian, what do you like about this stock right now?
Well, here's something that I look at that I think is a little bit unusual. A lot of people, this part isn't unusual, is that people will look for a flat to advancing 50-day moving average for the stock to be above it. Yeah. Tomorrow, we get rid of the data from June 20. We're finally getting rid of data from June 29th. So June 29th, you can see we're going to be replacing tomorrow's data if we just stay where we are. We're getting rid of that day. So that's 50 days ago.
Yeah, okay.
So tomorrow we get rid of that in the 50-day moving average calculation. That means the 50-day moving average will be advancing. So number one, we've got the stock above a rising 20-day moving average. The 50 is flattened out. And tomorrow the 50-day moving average will be rising. I've noticed a difference, whether it's, you know, if it's declining, you just want to let it, you know, correct itself for a while. It's digesting. It's above that prior 130-ish level that was, you know, resistance back in January and February. It's done a nice job of holding that with those recent lows. And so it's been trading in a pretty tight range. And if you look at the revenues, were, you know, in the last quarter, we're up 69%. Now it's decelerating a little bit, but it's still pretty impressive growth. They haven't gotten a dollar of mine yet. I'm not ready for the Franken.
I've tried them. I've tried it. It's okay. It's getting better, and I feel that they keep getting closer and closer. So this one, it's still not there, but they're getting better.
Okay.
I know there's a lot. It's very controversial. A lot of people don't like to.
Yeah.
Try it.
I've tried it. Okay. So the relative strength is increasing, and that just made a higher high as well as a higher low. And, you know, we've been a little bit volatile since that last earnings report. The last earnings report that brought the stock right up to that 142.50 high. And that, you know, was a classic sell the news. And it spent time digesting. It held the prior lows. You know, it made a higher low. In fact, that 121.35 versus 120.32. Yep. Now, I think it needs to get above the high that it made last week. It's, if you also took the average price since the peak at 167.16, the volume weighted average price off of there, we just closed above today as well. So that tells me that this corrective mode is just ending. We're also holding above the volume weighted average price from the March low and the high that it made in, I think it was June of last year. So those two volume weighted average prices come together in that same area. So to me, it looks like it should be making a run most likely for a test of that 167 level. And then and then who knows what's next after that. So I want to buy this stock. It's going to a shorter term time frame. So let's say the 30-minute time frame. What I don't like about this stock is all that volatility. So, you know, looking from August 26th, I mean, this thing's been super whippy, and people who have chased it have really gotten a, you know, talk about a bad taste in your mouth. But I mean, so last week it ran to 142 and then it caved down to 120. So it's clearly a stock that's going to need a wider stop and therefore smaller, you know, than normal, you know, share size, but still, you know, to compensate for that risk. What I'd like to see in here is maybe it pulls back another day and a half towards that 136 level, or somehow just starts kind of creeping up. But just, I like to get it a little bit tighter first. The big ranges, I really don't like that. If I were to get involved here, my stop is going to be about 132.15, which is below, just below that area in there.
Yep. Now you mentioned another term here, especially for those who are newer and listening to the podcast, volume weighted average price. Yeah, talk about that briefly. I mean, that's, I call you the godfather of VWAP. Talk about that and why that's really important for your analysis.
Yeah, in a nutshell, it's basically like a dollar cost average. If you bought $1,000 worth of a stock every month, at the end of the year, you want to know what your cost basis is. Your cost basis is, $1,000, let's say you had a $100 stock, you would buy 10 shares. If the stock was $80, you would buy 12 and a half shares. If the stock was 15, you would buy, six shares or whatever. So you take the $12,000 divided by the number of shares you have, your dollar, and you get your dollar cost average. So that's your personal volume weighted average price over the course of a year. So you measure that's your anchor as far as here's what I look at from the stock, the most important price. It's the price that I own it at. I own it at an average of 112. The stock is 113. I'm doing okay. 90, I'm a dope. That's basically the way we want to look at a stock like this. If you go back to the daily chart and see that 167 level and say, what's the average price since the sellers regained control? So it was clearly undergoing profit taking, but there were dollar cost averagers, working into the stock. It's above the 20 and 50 day moving average. Relative strength is increasing. We have a good revenue increase. Losses are losses, I guess. Versus profitable last year. So the average price paid is starting to flatten out, and it's about 142, 143, somewhere in there. So now it tells us that, the average long participant is starting to feel a lot better about this stock. And the average short in that time, because we always have shorts in the market, will start to feel pain if it gets above those levels. And if they're starting to feel pain, what's the way you reduce the pain? You cover your short, right? So very similar to if we're breaking down and we're feeling pain, we're either going to say, I want to cut my losses or I'm going to buy more or whatever. But if you have demand from the longs who've been kind of, building that base in there over the last 2 months, that they're now getting ready for this breakout, if they can take control, it should propel the stock up towards that 167-ish level, I think. And if not,
perfect.
That's why we have, stops.
Yeah, because you're not going to be right all the time, and plenty of times you're going to be wrong, so you have to have that exit strategy. So let's go to the next stock on the list, and this is SunPower, and the ticker symbol is SPWR, and let me pull that one up on the chart, and then let me share it with everyone too here. And okay, so here's SunPower. And okay, so we have it on a daily chart, and this one, it did gap up a couple of weeks ago, and it's been holding the gap. Looks pretty impressive with the way the market's acting. What else do you like about this?
Well, one, it's had a big run, so that gets me a little, I'm just aware that it's had this big run. So when we look at this daily chart, we see it's up near these 52-week highs. So that tells me I need to look to the left and say, where is the potential for supply? So now we're going from the daily time frame to the weekly time frame to say, how does this fit into the bigger picture? Is there a huge level of prior support at 13 that might become, that source of supply that holds it back? And you can see here, it's a real nice break of a multi-year high. And the next potential for resistance probably doesn't come in towards about 14 or 15. So we might have, $2 to $3 of upside, and that's being conservative. So back to the daily time frame, we look at that, it's holding its gains. Now you've got to think too, is this an election play? Is this are people running this up because maybe they think Biden is going to re-implement some of the tax credits for solar, which he's discussed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take a political outlook. I want to look at the flow of money. And it just found, it's unable to close below that rising 10-day moving average. It's holding above the 20-day moving average. Now it's time to look to the 30-minute time frame and say, where can I get involved in this? So here, I think you could get involved really right in this area. I'm picky about my entries. I'd like to see it pull back a little bit tomorrow and then break the high of today. But either way, okay, above today's high, which was 1182, I think an initial stop for me would go down at 1096, which is, you can see there's two little lows there from Monday, I think, right in there. And then a little bit earlier in the day as well. So to me, it's about, there's strong momentum here. I don't want to give it a ton of room, because if the momentum fails, as we just saw with, momentum named Tesla, right? They can fail and fail hard. You have to have a strategy for a new entry especially when the stock's already had this big run. You've got to keep, you don't have the luxury of having a cost basis of 5. So you can't have your stop down at $9.50 per share when you're buying it at 12. So you've got to adjust for that. And again, smaller share size most likely as well.
Perfect. Okay, so that was SunPower. Ticker symbol once again was SPWR. Let's go to another stock. And there we go. Okay, and so this is Walmart. Ticker symbol WMT. And so this one has been hanging in there pretty well with this market pullback. And what do you like about this?
Here's a classic, big volume breakout to new all-time highs just in the last 2 weeks. And, you don't have to do it, but it is all-time highs if you looked, further to the left. And it's a nice orderly pullback. It's pulling back to a prior level of resistance on diminished volume. It's got a good relative strength. It's a, maybe a more defensive type of name. If money is truly coming out of technology, is it going to gravitate towards a Walmart type of company? So it's pulling back and it's still holding that 10 and 20 day moving average, the 50 day moving average. So we've got a pattern of higher highs and higher lows on the daily time frame. When we look at the 30 minute time frame, we see that the trends aren't quite aligned yet. We still have these lower highs and lower lows. Now, maybe it's just starting to be able to turn. So it sold off hard at the end of the day there. I don't know what that was.
Right.
But maybe back above today's high, if it doesn't cave in from here, back above today's high with a stop underneath the low from 2 days ago, again, that would make the pattern of higher highs and higher lows on this shorter term time frame. And that would put in an alignment with the longer term picture, which is still obviously bullish at, coming off of all-time highs.
Yeah. And so another good example of how down and detailed you get here and how defined you are with your entries here. Let's go to another one, Camping World, which went on this amazing run and kind of came from the dead. It was out for many, many years, right? And all of a sudden it's back. And I mean, I always remember this one because Mark Lemonis is the CEO, and he has that TV show, The Prophet.
Right. I didn't know he was the CEO, really.
That's why I was liked about it. I was like, oh, this guy's really smart.
Yeah.
But then the stock, I think, did well for a little bit, and then it really blew up. But it's back, and it's finding support up to 50. What do you like about it, Brian?
Yeah, it became a COVID play, right? I mean, people are going camping instead of going on airplanes. So here again, we had a shakeout below the 50-day moving average, but in that entire time, the 50-day moving average was still rising. So to me, this was more, kind of a combination of a price and time correction. It didn't just continue lower, but so I put this one on Twitter today and it's up $1.25 from there, but it's still, I think, within a good range that it's, revenues are increasing nicely or fairly nicely. Earnings are definitely showing a big uptick. And now if we go to the weekly time frame, you can see there's nothing in the way as far as potential resistance. Oh, I guess I had that wrong. But, Yeah, so maybe 45, 50, maybe it makes a run to those all-time highs, which right. seems reasonable. So then again, filter down to a, let's go to an hourly chart here, because this pullback's been a little bit deeper in terms of time. And here you can see, you know, we had that pattern, lower highs and lower lows, and then it kind of flirted with the 33 level. And, you know, it's not an exact precise number, but now it looks like that 32.5, 33 level has successfully been defended. So I put on Twitter today, you know, that's where my stop would go personally. And now for a new entry, I'd like to see it pull back below 34.5-ish and then resume, because it just ran from 32.5 to 35.5 over that, you know, the course of the low today to the high today. That's 10%. And that to me is extended in the short term, that's chasing it. Now, maybe it doesn't give me an opportunity to buy there, but I already bought it today anyways. So I'm saying for fresh money, maybe it doesn't give that opportunity. That's where you have to just say, is it really something I need to own? Or am I okay? Maybe I take a third of my position size because I realize there's a little extra risk because it just ran 10% in a day.
Yeah. No, and that's, yeah, if you miss it and you really want some and it's still not super extended, get a smaller bit. Sometimes I'll do that. Sometimes I'll actually do that for some stocks that I miss, and I'll just buy a very tiny amount just to bring it down and you know, not let it get away, not let it get away from me. So like a Tesla runs up too much, I'm going to buy a little bit and just bring it back down.
You're going to jinx it up there. Yeah.
Exactly. Now we had one more stock, right? What was the last? I always want to say Donkey Kong, but it is DraftKings.
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, I also call it Don King.
It's kind of like Don King too. Those are both really good, but this is DraftKings ticker symbol DKNG, and it is setting up really nicely. I do have some shares of this. It has been a little tough over the last couple of weeks. What do you?
Oh my
about?
God, yeah. But so again, here's a stock. Just looking at that daily chart in the last week and a half, there's been three runs from 35 to 40. Yep. So to me, if you're buying it at 40, it's kind of an uneducated place to buy it. It's been sold there three times, you know, and each time it made a higher high last time. And if it breaks out tomorrow and takes out last week's high, I certainly wouldn't chase it. Because again, the personality of the stock is it runs up real quick and then brings them right back down, gets those people to spit it out. So you've got to be smart about buying this one. It's a super strong stock. As you said, you own it. It's got a whole, you know, theme to it, great story in terms of, you know, sports betting and all that. But again, it comes down to the personality of the stock. Is it suitable? It's certainly not suitable for a full position size when you're buying on strength. So buying a breakout, to me, would not be a smart thing here. You want to let it settle down a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even have close to a full position. I guess I have a small amount of it, and I had a little bit lower around 35. And
great.
I mean, you just this super strong uptrend.
Yeah.
And it's just been really, you know, you've been talking about time, taking a lot of time off, and it's just kind of tightening up. Now it has gotten a little bit more volatile, so it's not as nice as it was looking a few weeks ago.
And you can compare it to Penn, which is still very close. It might have made a new all-time high today or the last
day.
That's
right. Penn's more. I think Penn's looks nicer.
It actually does. Yeah. I mean, and it is the leader. But
yes.
So those are some ideas, and I think the themes are buying after a tight consolidation, definitely not chasing, using multiple time frames to gain your edge on that timing. So for me, you know, I like to be able to have a maximum position size as it's just breaking out, because I can have more shares of a potential winner versus a stock like Donkey Kong. I've got to have a 4-point stop or 10-point stop. It just, you know, I can't get into it with confidence, similar to a squirrely little biotech. I can't do that with confidence. So when you combine, hey, it does have all the CanSlim properties and you can time it really well, those are the ones you got to kind of go for it a little bit extra.
No, that's great. I mean, and And thanks so much for sharing all of this wisdom here. So there are a few ideas that are worth adding to your watch list. And once again, Brian, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, time frame, know your time frame and know where your stop is for that time frame. My stop might not be your stop. So awesome. Thanks for having me on, Arusha.
Next week, we will have David Ryan returning back to the show. David was a longtime portfolio manager for William J. O'Neill, the most famous portfolio manager for William J. O'Neill. He was also a longtime hedge fund manager on his own. And of course, he was featured in the famous Market Wizards book. Now, we are going to be recording this a day later, and so we will be releasing David Ryan's episode on Friday. So that's it for this week on Investing with IBD. I'm Arusha Paris, and thanks for listening.
And for this week's Nilton Charts, make sure to go to investors.com/podcast, where you'll find details for each episode in the podcast episode section. And make sure to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast if you haven't already. We'd really appreciate it. You can also send us your questions and comments to investingpodcast@investors.com. We would love to hear from you and may use your comments on an upcoming episode. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only, and nothing should be construed as a recommendation to buy, hold, or sell any securities. Make sure to consider consulting with your financial advisor before making any investment decisions.